Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Happy Halloween to you. We have all treats, no tricks today. Actually, I take that back. There's probably going to be quite a few tricks on today's special two-hour radio spectacular. But that's what you get every week on this show, isn't it? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll find out. Just stick around. It's going to be well worth your while. And, hey, we're going to start it off correctly with the dive god. Neil Watson is on Scuba Radio celebrating Halloween as well. Neil, happy Halloween to you.
Hey, buddy. Same to you. This is one of my favorite holidays. I love Halloween. I got married once in Vegas on Halloween, dressed up in a clown face, me and my bride, and that was Neil Jr.'s mother.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
That was the which number wife was that, by the way?
Let me get onto my second hand of fingers here.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. It was actually on Halloween you got married.
On Halloween in Vegas, yeah. Circus got painted up with clown faces and went across a little chapel thing, and it was pretty tough to keep a straight face in the vows, but hey, lasted 15 years and two kids.
Very nice. Doesn't get much better or worse, but regardless. It just goes with the whole theme. But let's talk about diving during Halloween and what fun things divers can do to celebrate the holiday appropriately. Now, I know for a fact that you are doing quite a bit today down there with Captain Slate in Key Largo. Am I right?
Absolutely. We're doing a Halloween dive. We're doing a two-tank dive. We're everybody's dressing. We're going to have a little contest, a bunch of prizes. When we get in from the dive, we got a beach party going on, and I'm already in my outfit. I've got you won't tell anybody.
I won't tell a soul.
I got an old wetsuit, and I got a bunch of these, the little cereal boxes, you know, and I glued it all over the wetsuit, and I got a great big, dive knife, and I'm going as a serial killer.
Okay, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, my son Neil Jr. is here, shaking his head.
Yeah, like, I'm sure. Geez,
what an embarrassment to have me as a father.
Well, he's used to it by now.
And, that's true.
You probably fit in better during Halloween, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I hear my goal from my kids. Yeah.
Yeah, my goal in life was to live long enough to embarrass my kids. And I've been doing that for years already.
Yeah. Very nice. All right. So, yeah, a lot of people are doing special things, for Halloween as divers, taking their wetsuit, filling it full of, leaves and creating a bloody corpse for the kids to terrorize them in their local neighborhoods. I'm sure that's a little tip that I'll be accused of encouraging across the country. But hey, that's just what we do. But you got the Halloween contest. Are they doing pumpkin carving too as part of the thing down there in the Keys today?
Yeah,
or no?
I think Jeff Turod is, but oh, that's right. Yeah. Slate's not, but Jeff, South Florida Diving Headquarters, I think, is doing a pumpkin.
Yeah, we plan to check in with him in a little bit and find out what's going on in his neck of the woods. But yes, I know they are doing underwater pumpkin carving. I really don't know where that came from. I don't really understand the whole idea of underwater pumpkin carving myself. But it is one of those things that a lot of dive clubs and dive operators across the country, across the U.S. in particular, love doing. And I don't really understand it, but hey, it's something to do and it's something to celebrate the holiday for, and why not,
How many things can you not understand that divers do?
True.
Jeez,
exactly. If we tried to explain it, that'd take more than our 2-hour show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. But Neil, I know you're excited about the DEMA show coming up. We're going to have our big family reunion here next week. You got big plans for that or what?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, DEMA is... you know, I look so forward to DEMA every year because it's everybody that I've grown up with in my adult life at one place at one time, you know, for FaceTime networking and nighttime partying, and it's just such a great event, and I'm really looking forward to it, especially when it's in Orlando, because that's when we do the best. I mean, that's our, you know, the Caribbean market is really mm-hmm. strong when the show's in Orlando versus Vegas. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
hanging with my buddy Greg.
Well, exactly. We always have fun no matter where we are, but definitely when it's in our home base of operations of Orlando, it makes it even better, especially on the heels of Halloween, because there's usually some leftovers. You know, the Halloween stores are still open, so the divers have a tendency to go to one of those things and get a half-price mask or something and start wearing it to the DEMA parties. Just kind of spices things up, you know, adds to, you know, Neil Watson's prop box. They like to amuse everybody with it in the evening. So I am definitely looking forward to it as well. And, you know, like I said, being on Halloween is a bonus or on the heels of it. Actually, one year we actually had it the same week as Halloween.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, that was a hoot.
And our crew won the best group dive costume, our scuba radio crew. We went as a 5-member team as the world's largest dive belt. So each person was a weight. With a box of gray goo all over.
I remember.
Yeah.
I had forgot, but I remember. Yes, that was very creative.
Yes. It made for a challenge walking down the hallways of the convention center there. But, hey, we were a fine oiled machine by the... And actually, no, we were a finely lubricated machine.
We didn't care
that we were tripping over each other.
By the last day of DEMA, it's difficult walking down the halls, period.
True. Absolutely. But, and I know you got your son there with you, too, and he's over from Bimini. And last year, they were doing the spooky dive over there.
Right.
Are you guys doing that over there this year, too,
what? We couldn't pull it off this year because we have the boat over, getting it tweaked up every year. We bring it over this time of year for maintenance, getting ready for the hammerhead season, which starts, in about 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't afford to be broken down during hammerhead season. So we come over and do all of our maintenance once a year, and we didn't get it back quite as early as we thought we would be. Plus, we were working so hard getting ready for DEMA. He's pretty well slammed.
I gotcha. So you guys are just celebrating with Captain Slate down there in Key Largo today.
Correct.
And, you know, I would be there with you, but I'm going to the Taylor Swift concert tonight. Taking my daughter over to Tampa, and we're celebrating Halloween that way. It's the last night of her tour. I'm going as a creepy old man because I'll be the only one there over the age of 50 that's a dude, I think.
Actually, Neil Jr. took his sister, my granddaughter, to a concert in West Palm. What was that, son?
Hmm?
What was that concert you went?
He's thinking.
It was a country western concert.
A country western. Okay.
Jason Aldean.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my son's normal music theme. But.
Well, when he called Jason Aldean, I think it's a country concert. Yeah. Okay. He kind of gave his, showed his cards right there. But that's fine. He was doing what he needs to do as a family man.
With his little sister, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm doing, but I'm going to feel a little out of place. And it's Halloween, so everyone's dressing up. So, you know, I don't really have to do much to go as a creeper. Because
well,
I think
you just drink the pedophile.
Yeah, okay. That'll go over great. Is that being a family man? I don't know.
The things we do. We need to drift off of this.
Exactly.
I've got too many jokes about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As long as I'm not in jail, I'll be at the DEMA show with Neil next
perfect.
Week.
Perfect. All right.
And we'll be doing the show. We're going to be doing our Junkanoo Happy Hour in the Bahamas Isle each day, 4 to 6.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. We're giving away a bunch of stuff, and we'll have our there's a good chance there could be some rum punch floating around there for everybody. Yeah, there's no telling.
You're talking about being in jail. That might be the only place you haven't done a live remote.
true. It could be in. We can mark that one off the list.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
brother. Right. Yeah. Well, these are goals that we shouldn't have. But yeah, quit giving me these ideas, Neil. You know, I do want to be able to make it towards DEMA or make it a DEMA.
Yeah, I'm
looking for the Junkanoo Happy Hour. That's always a blast. And that'll be the way we close out the show each day. So if you're at the DEMA show, make sure you join Neil, myself, and the entire Bahamas gang. For the end of the show, Happy Hour or Junkanoo Happy Hour with Scuba Radio. We'll have our mermaids. We'll have all kinds of giveaways. And like I said, there could be rumors of a Bahamian rum punch or two flowing around for everybody. Just no telling. I can't promise anything, but there's been rumors of this happening in the past. Right, Neil?
We haven't missed it yet, so I would guess the rum punch would be.
Yes, exactly. All right. We got more coming up on our special Halloween edition of the world's first radio show devoted to diving next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
They're here.
Oh, dear God. Oh, it's creepy. Spooky. Yes. It is Halloween here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving, or anywhere, I guess, for that matter. So what are divers doing besides carving pumpkins underwater and doing, you know, dress up underwater on their next dive? I don't know. The crazy stuff. And to talk more about this would be our good buddy and West Palm correspondent, Phil Narcosis. Phil, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy Scuba Halloween to you, Greg.
Yes, indeedy. All right, so when it comes spooky dives, I figured if anybody knows, where to go for that type of thing, Phil would know. I got a few ideas of my own, but as far as, you know, going somewhere for Halloween or just going with the idea you want to do a spooky dive, where would you go and what would you suggest there, Phil?
Well, let me tell you where I've been, where it was a very creepy dive.
Yeah.
It's called Chandelier Cave. It's in Palau, which is in Micronesia.
Nice.
And Chandelier Cave, I mean, I'm not a I'm not really into overhead enclosed environments, and I'm certainly not a certified cave diver. Are you?
No, I am not.
Yeah, I kind of stay away from that stuff.
But it's kind of creepy. It's too creepy.
It is.
You know, Devil's Den over there by Ocala, Jenny Springs area.
But this creepy is different. Stuff. They let on the last day of the live aboard, everybody does this dive. It's in only 19 feet of water, and it's a big cavern. You can turn around and go back out, but it's so dark in there. You go in. And you swim, it's a couple hundred feet maybe, and then you ascend back up, and then there's this big, you hit the surface, and then you breathe air, and you're in this big, like, open, it looks like a big amphitheater, and it's basically a big cave. It's got some stalagmites and stalactites. I get those mixed up. Do you know which ones are from the top down to the bottom? That's the one that you're in the open air.
I'm going to go with stagmites or stalactites.
It's one of those two.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's, let me tell you which, and there's actually two openings. So you go to the first one, and everybody says hello, and then the dive master says, okay, now we're going to tell ghost stories. I mean, it's literally like that kind of thing. And then we go back down, and then you swim another 100 feet farther in to another opening. And that opening's really small, like only like 10 people close together can even fit in there.
Yeah.
And that's also open air. And here's the creepiest part.
Yeah.
This is where I know that maybe cave diving wouldn't be for me. He says at one point, he says, okay, now everybody turn out your light. And you turn out the light, and without those lights, you cannot see anything. It's not the kind of darkness where your eyes get used to it, like when you're in bed.
Right.
It's the kind of darkness that they talk about in cave diving, that if you lose your light and your backup light, you're so screwed, it's not even funny.
You can't tell which way is up, nothing, no bubbles, no nothing.
No, and so he did that to demonstrate just how dark can be. It's like, remember Spinal Tap, the black record? Like, how much blacker could it be? Remember that?
Right, yes.
And it was like that kind of black. So then anyway, long story short, then we turned around and we went back, and I was actually glad when it was over. I mean, even though I dived with a din regulator, which I feel is safer than yoke. That's just my little plug there. And the cave divers always do din, right?
Yeah. Just because they can, regulator, that connection, they say, is a little bit more, can handle pressure better than the other. Is that what you're trying to go? Is that why you like that or what?
Well, I think it's also, I think the reason is it's less prone to failure, especially with bumping, with people who do caves or wrecks and penetrations. You tend to bump your rig on things,
right,
trying to get through spaces. And if you can bump a yoke pretty good and just snap that thing to a complete catastrophic failure at depth, and
that's spooky.
Although, we were at the Turks and Caicos, and we could talk about that trip too, right? But the fellow from Spare Air was there, and he gave us all some Spare Air equipment.
Yeah.
And I dove with it all week long in Turks and Caicos, and I'm not plugging Turks and Caicos, but I am plugging it because it's a great product, and of course Vince and everyone there are just great people.
Well, Vinny Tutan, you're not plugging the Turks and Caicos, you're plugging Spare Air. Okay, I got you're saying. Well, you're plugging both because you like
I'm
the
plugging everything. If I like it, I'm going to talk about
it. But the valve, what is it, the DIN valve you're talking about? I thought those were rated for higher pressures than the other valve too. Am I wrong on that? I don't really know.
No, the same tank.
It's the same tank, but I thought that setup was supposedly you can actually use higher pressure on them. Am I wrong on that, or do we know?
You know what?
I could be wrong. That'd be the first time ever that I'd be wrong, but I'm just saying, I thought there was something else that particular type of setup could handle higher pressures from different types of tanks. But maybe, who knows? It might like you said, there's less stuff for you to run into with that kind of lower profile maybe or something.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But anyway, if you can get out to Chandelier Cave, whether it's Halloween or not, that to me is that definitely qualifies for a spooky dive.
Now, what kind of ghost story did the dive master share when you guys are underwater or in this little air pocket of, it's basically an underground cave that had access via the dive you did?
Well, I'm sorry to say to you, I have a great memory.
Yeah.
It's just a little short.
Of course it is. Yes. All right.
I don't remember.
But there obviously would have to be a sea monster or something that lurks around in a cave, you know. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to any type of spooky dive, I would definitely go down that road as well, or in that swim in that general direction of a cave or a cavern thing. I mentioned Devil's Den there.
Yeah.
You know, it's out
Florida.
It's Ocala, Williston area, out there by Jenny Springs. This place is spooky any day of the year, and it basically is a sinkhole that collapsed. The ceiling collapsed, and what you have on the surface, looking at it from the side, is that all this moss. This Florida moss has kind of grown into the hole. Mm. So when you're in Devil's Den and you're looking up at the light, it's creepy looking because, I don't know, it looks like where the devil would hang, I guess, you know? Have you done that site?
You know, I haven't, and we were on the Turks and Caicos liveaboard with a nice couple from Colorado, as you recall.
Right.
And he got his certification there. And one thing he talked about with cave diving is when you go far enough in where you see that skull and crossbone sign that says, you know, don't go farther than this or you will die.
The Grim Reaper.
Grim Reaper.
Right.
You know, right. They put it there because about that far into a cave system, because of the tidal, the tidal changes with tides, you get the tide can pull you in and pull you down, pull you up. Mm. And then people, because they get pulled in, they freaked out, then they start paddling, and then guess what? They get silted out.
Yes.
And so that's another, you know, cave diving is for a special person, of course, requires special skills and certification. So
yes. The Grim Reaper, always a bad sign. Anytime you see him, whether it's Halloween or otherwise, on a dive. All right, more with Phil Narcosis next. Stay close. It's Halloween. Halloween, and we are talking spooky dives with Phil Narcosis, reflecting on some of our dives that could be pretty spooky if you were to partake in such an event this evening, you know, to celebrate the day in style. All right, so we covered your little site there in Palau. Another, you know, cavern, cave sites are always going to look kind of spooky. Where else would you suggest?
Well, I would, I think another spooky dive is right here in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
You know, every year we have a mini season, which means we're allowed to hunt lobster.
Right.
And on that day at 12:01 a.m., my buddies and I charter a six-pack boat, and we do the night dive. Now, people have done night dives, and you know, usually you just stay stationary, but this is a drift night dive in about 80 feet of water, and it's flat. It's like broken up, but pretty flat. And as you descend with your torch, and it like really lights up at night, you see these lobsters out just walking on, just taking a walk on the block.
Yes, Attack of the 50-foot Lobster. I saw that movie. Or wait,
and they're
man.
And they're out in like group, like not groups. They're not. You don't feel like they're together, but you know, maybe every 10 or 20 feet you'll see them. They're just out like strolling. Of course, they're hunting and they're feeding,
mm-hmm.
but you don't see that. You don't see that in the daytime, and it's a really they're like kind of like soldiers marching. Marching along,
they're stalking you.
They're stalking.
They could be.
They could be.
I don't usually do that night dive thing at midnight, and I'll tell you because I am kind of creeped out. I've seen that giant lobster they got down in the Keys, right off of US-1. That's about 30 feet long and 20 feet tall. Have you seen that monster on the side of the road? You know, that's what I would run into if I did that 12:01 dive. I'm thinking,
well, you know.
It'd be that 50-foot lobster.
It'd be that one.
And he would attack for all those lobster slaying events that I'd had over the years.
Yeah, karma.
Payback time, baby.
Karma is a payback, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be. And that would be spooky. Those are some things or some thoughts that we put in your brain. It'll obviously make you think twice. Sounds like the continuing theme on this might be night diving. That definitely is a little bit on the spooky side, but also cool as can be when it comes to being a diver. You'd agree, right, Phil?
I so agree. Happy Halloween.
Absolutely. All right, we got more coming up right after a Dan tip next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 109. You'll get no bacon from spearing a hogfish.
A pig? Maybe.
And here's something else to consider. Brain coral cannot help you with a crossword puzzle or Sudoku. But mowing the lawn in snowshoes, well, what can I say?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Glad to see you made it here okay. Sorry I lost you on the way from the airport there, buddy.
Yeah, it was a good thing I had an extra set of directions.
Forgot you were following me and I got ahead of you in traffic.
It's all good, but it's a good example of why I have a backup plan.
And a nice segue into today's topic. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when you get separated from your buddy and the backup plan doesn't work.
Knowing what to do when a diver goes missing is an excellent skill to have. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with something simple. For whatever reason, you and your buddy get separated on the way back from the airport. I mean, the dive.
That's something you and your buddy should have discussed before you left the terminal or entered the water. You should have a plan in place that in the event that you're separated during a dive, you know what steps you'll have to take to reconnect.
Such as?
Such as agreeing that if separated, you'll immediately go to a designated point to rendezvous. Maybe it's an anchor or a scent line. Maybe it's at some other landmark you know will be on the dive. Another plan often agreed upon is that when you realize you've lost contact, search for about a minute underwater and then ascend and reconnect on the surface.
But the important thing is to know what you'll do and follow the plan, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happens if you follow your reconnection plan, but you still can't find your buddy?
Well, then you're dealing with a missing diver. In that scenario, immediately notify anybody nearby, either on the boat or on the shore, that you've got a missing diver in the water. You should not undertake that search by yourself without a plan and support in place.
Since there's always the possibility the missing diver is having some kind of trouble, I'm guessing it's better to treat the matter as urgent?
Urgent, yes. Panic, no. Start by marking the spot where you came up with a marker buoy. And if you have some immobile objects around you, like a tree or a building or a rock formation, use them as reference points. Next, see if anyone can spot the missing diver's bubbles. If spotted, it really helps target the missing diver's location and where to start looking.
Assuming they have bubbles to spot.
Ooh, that's true. If the diver is using a rebreather, searching for bubbles isn't going to help you.
And if the bubbles are spotted?
Send a diver in to check them out. Meanwhile, you should be providing the support team with as much information as possible. What the plan profile was, what directions you intended to swim, what happened on the dive, and at what point you became separated. Anything that can prove useful in the search.
You can even be doing that while you're looking for bubbles, can't you?
Absolutely. And when you're looking for those bubbles, be sure to look in every direction, not just where you think the missing diver should be. Oftentimes, the separation is the result of a diver simply getting disoriented or lost.
What about enlisting the help of others?
The more, the merrier. If you're on a boat, contact other boats in the area to see if the missing diver mistakenly boarded the wrong vessel. And if they're not on anyone's deck, enlist the help of everyone you can find. If you're on shore, have others scanning the water, checking the surrounding areas. Believe it or not, sometimes the missing diver has simply gotten out of the water and returned to their vehicle.
And if all that doesn't help?
It's likely time to start the underwater search. Searches should be conducted in teams, both for the safety of the searchers and to ensure that the resources needed are available in case a rescue is involved. Search teams should not enter the water without a solid plan in place. The plan should include an agreed-upon search area, search pattern, and time limits. If there are enough divers available, organize standby dive teams to pick up where the first team leaves off and to lend additional assistance if it becomes necessary.
What about other divers in the water?
If they are part of the group, you may want to institute a recall or regroup and reorganize everyone back on the boat or the shore. They may be able to lend assistance in providing information about what was happening underwater, or, profile permitting, they may be able to join the search. It's also possible that the missing diver will surface upon the recall, as the recall itself may be all that he or she needs to find their way back.
What procedures should the search teams follow?
They should always stay together, and they should never deviate from the plan they put in place. At no time should the searchers put themselves in danger while looking for a missing diver. Generally, the marked spot is used as a starting point, and the search expands in an agreed-upon direction from there.
There are different search patterns you can use. Which one should you?
Well, it really depends on the topography of the dive site and the conditions and visibility, but the most commonly used patterns include the U pattern, expanding squares, and circular search patterns. If a dive is being done in a specific or concentrated area, like a wreck for example, you may simply have several dive teams doing random searches, but more often than not, a more formal approach is used.
Hopefully, at some point in all this, the missing diver will be found. But if the unfortunate occurs and he's not?
Then it's time to call the authorities. In fact, you can call them at any point in this process. If you feel like you need additional assistance, don't hesitate to call for it. When you're looking for a missing diver, you know you're working against the clock, so use whatever resources you have available to you.
And hopefully it'll come out all right.
In most cases, it does. Most missing divers are usually just buddy teams that got separated for one reason or another. Sometimes it's preventable, sometimes not, which is why it's crucial to communicate with one another before you enter the water and stick to the plan you create.
And if you're following me from the airport,
bring a GPS.
Right. The search for a missing diver is something that should be undertaken quickly, but with a plan. Use whatever tools you have handy to help in the search, and don't be afraid to ask for help. But do your best to avoid going missing in the first place. Know the plan you and your buddy are to follow, and stick to it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and what could be more spooky than bringing on my good friend Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine for Halloween. Jerry, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, but it's always spooky being on Scuba Radio, Greg. You never know where you're going to go.
Well, this is true, but that makes it just that much more fun. It's all about the excitement of not knowing what's going to happen. It's like going on your next dive, right?
Absolutely.
You never know what you're
going to
run.
Find out what's going on.
True, true. Now, when it comes to Halloween, I would imagine you're like most other twisted divers and really enjoy this holiday. Am I correct?
I always enjoy Halloween, except one time we had the Dima show on Halloween, and that was just spooky scary.
Yeah, well, that was a good time. I mentioned that earlier, that that year the Scuba Radio crew won for best group contest costume, which was we were a giant weight belt. Each person took a belt. I think I was the buckle. And then and then we walked down the halls of the, you know, convention center hotel, and we ended up winning the Dan Halloween contest party for best group costume. So, I mean, you know, we can do those kind of things when it's that time of year. It's not quite Halloween for Dima this year, but close enough. I was telling the dive guide earlier that this year could be a little bit more colorful than usual because, you know, everybody will go to the Halloween stores. They'll still be open, you know, while Dima is going on, and everything will be half price. So I figure there might be some extra, I don't know, party favors for some of the evening parties at Dima in Orlando this year. You think, Jerry?
I think that's very, very possible. You know, when we had the Dima Halloween party, Dive Training Magazine sponsored that along with Dan.
Right.
And I got to tell you, next to the Pirates of the Caribbean party, it was probably one of the best we ever did.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, you combine those things, it just makes things just that much more fun. So I love it. I love Halloween. I love combining diving and in the, you know, the day and that kind of thing. And being that today's broadcast actually airs on Halloween, we are obviously celebrating accordingly, giving divers some ideas, probably some ideas they shouldn't have. But I don't know, we've talked about different places you could go to dive that might be a little bit more on the spooky side, like a night dive. But I don't know, along those lines, what would you suggest, Mr. Beatty?
For a spooky dive?
Yeah.
I think a spooky dive is just a dive where you really don't know what you're going to encounter next. You get on a dive where you really don't know anything about the dive site. That's about as spooky as it gets, and you can do that anytime.
True. And night dives, I think, just fall into that category all the time. They're a little bit, it's like fear of the unknown, right?
Absolutely. And night dives without a light, that makes it even spookier.
True. Absolutely. You could do one of those things that Phil was talking about where they go into one of these caverns in Palau and turn off the lights and they can't see their hand in front of their face. Now, I've never done that, but I don't know, that's probably something you do all the time on your world travels. Am I right?
I wouldn't say all the time, but that particular dive I have done, it's Chandler's Cave.
Yeah.
It's right across the bay from Sam's Tours, and it is a beautiful cave. But when you turn off the lights in that back chamber, it's all dark.
Nice. Now, what about underwater pumpkin carving, filling up your wetsuit with leaves and creating a bloody corpse on your front lawn? I mean, do you do that kind of stuff or what?
I'm usually not home to do that kind of stuff.
Well,
however, I was around for the very first known underwater pumpkin carving contest, and it was in Arkansas in a lake that had about 2-inch visibility, and boy, did we get some weird-looking pumpkins.
I bet. Okay.
Well, it was all by braille. You know, you had to do it by feel.
So that's what happens when divers have too much time on their hands, I guess?
Absolutely.
And we got more time to kill next, so we'll continue that theme next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy replacement certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
For all my pals who live in the oceans and the seas, with bronze like these, we'll
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine on the line with me. I'll see him next week as he comes to town for the big DEMA show right here in Orlando. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, Jerry travels the world as he, you know, helps manage the magazine and make sure all the articles are covered for the year and stuff. And so I got to ask, where in the hell have you been lately, Jerry? I mean, I know it's always someplace new and exciting every time I talk to you, so fill us in.
Well, I actually was invited out to the Philippines by the Department of Tourism to do a dive show. Now, that for me is very unusual. It was 4 days in Manila, and it was called the Dive Resort and Travel Show, and didn't quite know what to expect. Got there, they had a whole top floor of this mega mall rented, and they had photographers from all over the world.
Really?
It was the who's who of underwater photography. I met a lot of people from Asia, Europe, I had never met before, and I got to tell you, I was glad I wasn't a photographer because I wouldn't want to compare myself with some of those people.
Yeah, what is it about the area that's drawn in all these photographers? Obviously, tourism office contracted them or brought them in, but I've heard over the years, I haven't been to the Philippines yet, it's on our list, on our diving bucket list, but I've heard that the diving there is spectacular, especially when it comes to like macro photography and things like that, those crazy, you know, muck type of critters. Am I right, or is that a little off base?
The diving's crazy good there.
Yeah.
Crazy good. It's the best value for the money in the Pacific, without a doubt. I mean, it costs a little bit to get over there, but when you're there, things are very affordable. And they've got all kinds of variety. The Philippines is 7,000 islands. Matter of fact, I think it's exactly 7,132, because they kept repeating that number at the show.
Yeah, okay.
And but they are actually in the process, the Pacific dive industry that is, making Manila the central core hub for scuba diving in Asia. Mari's Head Sports has stationed themselves there now. They've built a big new facility. Various other dive industry people are moving in. It's just a good central hub for diving. So they wanted to make their own show.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a Beneath the Sea type program, but more for professionals.
Interesting.
People in the industry. So it was really interesting. I met a lot of people, had a great time.
Yeah.
But the reason I agreed to go, because I really didn't know about the show too much till I got there, was because they promised I could go anywhere in the Philippines I wanted to go diving after the show was over.
Very nice. Okay.
So I've been
you
around
at?
The Philippines a bit, Greg.
You
I've
have,
been to Cebu and Dumaguete and Port Aguilera. So I looked over the map, and there was one place I hadn't been called Palawan.
Okay.
And it was, they gladly sent me there and set me up with a hotel, and let me tell you, this place is undiscovered. There's two resorts there, both with good dive facilities, just now, this year, going into the North American dive market, and you will be one of the first if you get over there soon. It is beautiful. You fly into this island.
Yeah.
Barely has a paved runway.
Nice.
You get into a van, and it takes you through the jungle, down unpaved roads, to a little dock in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
You get on a banga. They take you about 45 minutes out down a river, out into the ocean, to little spots of sandy islands.
Interesting.
Each with a resort on it. It was amazing.
So you literally were out in the middle of nowhere.
You don't get out in the middle of nowhere much further than that.
Yeah. So, you knew this going in, that you were going to have to trek once you got off the airplane like that? So you kind of had an idea where you're going already, I guess, right?
No, actually, no. You know what? I didn't do my homework on this one. I was a bit surprised. I knew it was going to be far out.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it was going to be almost totally undeveloped, that we were going to go off the island of Palawan to an even smaller island. And get this, the name of the resort they took me to was Club Paradise. Now, how more, you know, out there in your dreams of the perfect island dive spot can you get than to end up on a little spot of sand called Club Paradise?
You can't. Except there is a place called Paradise in Fiji that I've been to as well. And they
gorgeous.
Said, welcome to Paradise. So I'm sure they did the same there in the Philippines, right?
Well, something similar, yes. And Club Paradise in Taviuni is really gorgeous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good place to go as well.
Yeah.
So it was real good, but I'll tell you what's really scary.
Well, wait. Before you get into that, I mean, the diving you said is spectacular, but is it macro-based, or is it big animals, or a combination, or what? What are we
Not
talking
big
about?
Big animals. It's basically macro,
yeah.
But you've got some real good fish life because one of the places they dive that's very difficult to get to from anywhere else is a place called Apo Reef.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a boat ride, but there you've got spectacular hard coral, soft coral, and a nice variety of fish. You're not getting the big rays or sharks, but you're getting a lot of fish.
Got it. Okay, but it got a little spooky for you.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible, and I want to bring this up because nobody else has to get scared like this. But I got to the island. The first day I got there, I got very, very ill.
Mm.
And unlike my normal trips, where I prepare a med kit, where I've got some antibiotic, I've got some painkiller, I've got a few things that you might not be able to get in a really exotic place.
Yeah.
I didn't do it this time.
Ooh.
And it got too scary to go diving because I was too sick to really do it.
So you got to paradise and got sick. That's not just spooky, that's just a tragedy.
It's a tragedy and my own fault because I didn't go prepared. But when you start going off to more exotic places, it needs more preparation.
Well, as they say in Dive Training Magazine, good divers are always learning from Jerry Beatty's mistakes. Wait a minute, I might have added something to that. I don't know.
No, I'll go with that on this one especially, Greg.
All right. Well, thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. See ya.
And we got another hour of Scuba Radio on deck for this Halloween edition. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.